Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Now, let's give Jesus a big clap offering. What do you say? Amen. You can do better. Come on, a little bit. One more time, lift it up. Before you're seated, turn around and say to the one beside you, you look like you've been working out again. Come on, tell them that right now. I want to tell you, it is a great honor to be here today. You know, I haven't been here in 3 or 4 years. And when I walked in this building, you have really grown since I was here last time. That's a good place to give the Lord a big shout out there. Amen. Wow, so impressed. And of course, the worship team. My goodness, my goodness. And you're in this beautiful auditorium, and you've got the best pastors in the world. Yeah. Matter of fact, you're a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. That's what you are. Amen. And I want to tell you so much. It's such an honor to be here. When I come here, I get a little sentimental. You know why? Because I love you all very, very much at this church. I've been at this church more than any church now in America. It was Willie George, but you passed him up. I counted just before I came out here, it's 24 times I have been here to preach to you folks. Amen. And thank you for inviting me back. Boy, I never get used to this. I always get teary-eyed. And I guess even a little more now, because last time I was here, I was 82 years of age. And now I'm 86 years of age. Now, since I was here last time, I've been preaching now 70 years. We just celebrated that in our church, 70 years. At the Dream Center, we've been there 31 years. I've been married to the same old gal for 60 years. I'd rather fight than switch. Amen. But the real reason I'm real sentimental is that first time I spoke at that Bible college, then that is now a university, this couple sat in the audience. Little did I realize, sitting in that midst, there was a miracle that was sitting in that house. And to see how God has blessed this great church and blessed you wonderful people who stick with the men of God. And these, they call me their pastor, but more than that, I am their friends. I love them. My wife, it's her favorite preachers in America. Matter of fact, he did push-ups with her last time I was here. Can you imagine that? Your pastor on the floor doing push-ups in his office. It was awesome to see. It's good to be here. Thank God this is the only place I go. They really know who I am. I go to the airport and somebody says, "Are you Jerry Jones?" The other day, I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, waiting to be picked up, and a little lady walked up to me and said, "Mister, did anybody ever tell you you look like?" And I knew she was going to say, I knew what she was going to say. So I said, no. She said, "You remind me of President Biden." And I said, "What President Biden always says, come on, man, amen." So it's good to be recognized as Tommy Barnett. Man of God, amen. But I guess I'm just a little sentimental, especially because recently some of my dearest friends have gone to be with the Lord. Just about a year and a half ago, Dr. Cho, I've been on his board for 30 years, pastor of over 700,000 people in one congregation. And then, about 2 years ago, Dr. George Woods, the Assembly of God, head of the Assemblies of God, he's the guy that's responsible for me to go to L.A. And then, just recently, Jack Hayford, they called him the gate pastor to Los Angeles, passed away. And then my dear friend, Pat Robertson, been on his program so many times at this, went to be with the Lord. And Moore Sorello, who literally has given us a couple million dollars to remind us that Dream Center went to be with the Lord. When I stop and think about it today, what made these men great? What set them apart from other people? That's what I want to talk to you about today. What makes a church distinct? Is it the music? Oh, you got great music here. Is it the architectural beauty? You certainly have a cutting church. Is it the marketing of that church? Is it the pastor? There is a reason why some churches are blessed and others struggle to just exist. What makes this church different from any industry in all of the earth? It is the abiding presence of God. And what's true of the church is true of you. What makes you different? What gives you the cutting edge in the world you live in today? It's the abiding presence of God. And so the question I want to ask you today is, how much time do you spend in the presence of God? How much presence do you have in your life? And does anybody know it? You see, when you're in the presence, it hangs on. When a person comes out of a Chinese restaurant and he talks to you, you can tell where they've been. Amen. When a person comes out of a Mexican restaurant, gloria a Dios. Amen. You can tell where they have been. When a person comes out of a bar, you know where they've been. The presence is literally on them. And when a person comes out of the presence of God, you know it. The Bible said that when Moses came down from the mountaintop, there was such a gloria, a shina that came from his face. They had to cover his face because the presence is real. Moses first experienced that presence of God at the burning bush, and it changed his life forever. When God called him to lead, Moses had just one stipulation. He said, God, I will go, but I won't go unless your presence goes with me. The Bible said that Moses and God talked as friend to friend. So I think their conversation went kind of like this. God said, Moses, I want you to take the children of Israel across the wilderness to the promised land. Moses said, okay, only one thing, you've got to go with me. And God said, now, Moses, I've been kind of busy right now. I got a lot on my plate. So I'm going to send an angel with you. And Moses says, angel, nothing. I'm not going to go across the desert with some spooky angel. I don't even know that angel's name. I just won't go unless you go with me. And God chuckled and said, I really wanted to hear that anyway. I wanted to go with you. Moses understood that God's presence was a sign of God's pleasure. It was upon him. It would be upon his people. And it would distinguish them from all other people. Now, in business, we know the bottom line is success. In sports, we know it's winning. In television, it's rating. In politics, it's votes. In the church, success is the powerful, strong, abiding sense of God's presence. And when you find the presence of God upon your life, you will receive empowerment as it did on the day of Pentecost. Cowardly, afraid, powerless people, they went out and changed the world because of the abiding presence of God. And it's an amazing thing. You can feel weak. I've felt that times when I've went to the pulpit. There have been places I felt intimidated, out of place. But when the presence of God came upon me, I felt in power. I spoke with boldness. I squared my shoulders back. I felt the Almighty presence of God was with me. You see, you have an authority. It affects the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you smile, the way you do life, because you've been empowered by the presence of the living God. Now, the presence is how God referred to himself in his conversation with Moses. Exodus 33 and verse 14. God said, my presence will go with you, and it will give you rest. Now, maybe there's no rest in your spirit today. You know why? Because you're practicing the absence of the presence of God. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. There is peace. There is joy. There is rest. And the empowering presence of God is the evidence that God is present and he's real within your life. Jackie Robinson, the great baseball player, the first player to break the race barrier. One day they were in a very important game. They were trying to make the playoffs. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he made an error. This error cost the Dodgers a game that would keep them perhaps out of the playoffs. The crowd turned upon Jackie Robinson, and they began to boo and hiss in his direction. It was a tense moment when an infielder by the name of Pee Wee Reese, by the way, he was a shortstop. He was later a Hall of Famer. And by the way, he was born in the South, where at that time there was a lot of prejudice there, came over to him, put his arms around him, and the booing stopped. And Robinson referred to that moment as the turning point in his career. And that's what the presence of God feels. You see, God wants to put his arms around you and just feel in any situation that God is there, God is with you. He wants to encounter you in such a way that you'll never forget it. And let me just say, I don't think I've ever met a great man of God or woman of God who has not had an encounter with God. A moment that they could say, God came to me, and I know what it's like to have an encounter with God. He was just a young man. He had consumption, tuberculosis. A young 13-year-old girl knocked upon his door and asked him if he knew Jesus. And he said, no, I don't. Tell me about this Jesus. And she told him about the Lord, led him to Christ. She laid her hands upon him and prayed for him. And it was healed. He became pastor of a church. He was so intense about this church that he stayed at the church for 1 year and did never go home. He said, God, I'm not going to go home until you give me the promise that we'll build the greatest church in the world. And that little boy that grew to be the great leader was Dr. Cho. I've never heard Dr. Cho preach that I did not feel that since I heard him the last time, that he'd been in the presence of God, that he'd had a fresh revelation with the Almighty God, the presence. You see, the word presence in the Old Testament is the word piathon. That word in the Hebrew means turn your face. How many times have you read in the Bible the people turned their face towards God, or God turned his face towards the people, or God turned his face away from the people? The presence of God is God's face turned to you in acceptance and in favor. I love the story of the man who had lost his wife. They had a little boy, and at the funeral, of course, the little boy was crushed. He cried all the way home, and finally they got him to stop crying. It was time to go to sleep at night, and the father went in to tuck him in bed. He prayed with him and turned off the lights and went in the other room. And then he got in bed himself, turned off his lights, when he heard the voice of his little son, Daddy, Daddy, would you come back in here? So his dad went back in. He said, "Daddy, would you sleep with me tonight?" Well, his dad said, "Of course I will." They turned the lights off again, and there was quietness for just a little while when he heard the little voice again. "Daddy, is your face turned towards the wall or towards me?" And the father said, "Well, my face is turned towards the wall." And his little son said, "Dad, if you would just turn your face towards me, I believe that I could make it through the night." And that's what the presence of God is. And some of you right now are going to a time that you need his face turned towards you. Because what comes with the faith? The blessings come with it. The favor, the goodness, the anointing, the prosperity, the forgiveness, the rest, and the peace. Everything that you would ever want in your life comes to you when you turn your face towards God and God turns his face towards you. It literally means that he's coming to you with everything that he has. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 97 and verse 5. The mountains melt like wax in the presence of God. At the presence of God, the whole earth shakes. Luke 18, 23, the things which were impossible are now possible with God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God, nothing is impossible when God turns his face towards you. Now, there's three aspects of the presence of God that I want to give you in the next remaining minutes that I have today. First of all, there's the omnipresence of God, the God who is everywhere. Psalms 1 and verse 39, David said, "If I made my bed in hell, you are there. If I go to the highest heavens, you are there." And then he asked the questions, where can I go from the presence of God? You can't. The Bible said he's everywhere. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. But while there are people who are surrounded and dwell in the presence of God, they never open the door to receive that presence in their life. So number one, that's the omnipresence of God. But number two, there's a second level. It is the manifest sovereign presence of God. That's when God chooses to reveal himself sovereignly. A time when the strange sense of presence of God may prevail like it did at Azusa Street. When the Holy Spirit came in L.A. and visited that place, signs and wonders, fiery darts were seen on the roof of that place when Pentecost fell upon the people. And then it disappeared for a while. And then it reappeared at Angela's Temple with the great Amy McPherson. God used her. She fed more people during the Depression than anybody in America. People were healed. It was a revival. Thousands came. But then it disappeared, and Amy went to be with the Lord. 100 years later, it appeared again at the form of the Dream Center in Los Angeles when God raised up an unlikely, shy little guy, believe it or not, at that time. With the power of God and a compassion for the lost and a love for the hurting people. And revival came to that place in such a way that recently he fed 5 million people during the pandemic meals. I don't mean little sandwiches, meals. 5 million. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. And today it is recognized the revival they're having now is even greater than the heyday of Amy McPherson, because when the presence of God comes, it changes things. And because of this, people will travel all over the world if they think they can just find God. And so the Beatles went to India to sit at the feet of some Bhagwan. because they were searching for God. At Sedona, Arizona, the Red Rock country, every year people converge from all over the world to come to get in what they call harmony. And they do all the funny hums, amen. And they build rock monuments all over the mountainside. They want to sense the presence of God. But I got some good news today. Let me tell you that you have a passport into the presence of God. It is called the B-I-B-L-E. This is our passport into the presence of God. Well, Pastor Barnett, I hear it all the time. Do you have a word for us? Yes, I do. I am speaking, if you'll just listen. Come on, you have the holy word of God. If Jesus returned today, he would preach out of this book. And you have it. I love this book. Sometime when I travel around the world, stay in strange hotels, there's times I get a little scared. I'm going to admit it. And I take the Bible, and I just hug it. I sleep with it. Have you ever just wanted to kiss it? Just pat it. Oh, come on, say a good amen. You have the holy word of God sitting there on your coffee table. Pick it up and read it and absorb it. It's your password. But that's not all. You have a password. And that word is a word that is above all other words. This word conquers sickness, disease, oppression, demonic power. And that word is J-E-S-U-S. When I spell it out, I think about we had a rally at our church and people were getting up and just kind of taking over before the service over. And a man ran up on this platform. At that time, they would give Jesus cheers. You know, he'd yell out what it was. And this guy ran up to lead a Jesus cheer. And he said, "Give me a G." Some of you did not know the difference. Amen. It's J-U-S-U-S. We have an access code. But that's not all. We have a number you could call when you get in trouble. You know, you get in trouble, you need the police to come, you dial what number? 911. Well, we have an access code. Psalms 911. He that dwells in a secret place. Do you have a secret place? Do you have a place that you talk to God? Shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You have a place to go. And just turn your face towards God. And God turns his face back towards you. And starts depositing his greatness right into your spirit. I'm talking about the sovereign manifested presence of God. By the way, history is full of examples of the sovereign manifest presence of God. In 1858, during the American Revival, as ships were nearing American ports, a writer said, and I read it, there seemed to come upon the people a zone, and that's the title of my message here today, a zone of spiritual influence. Ship after ship arrived with the same story of a sudden conviction that came upon the people. The whole ship began to throw over their booze and paraphernalia. And they would come into the dock with the whole ship saved. And the fear of God would fall upon the community because here was a bunch of raunchy sailors who leave one way and they come back singing hymns. And they would ask, "What's wrong with these people?" And they would say, "We came under the zone." Now, the zone was about 1 mile out, for whatever reason, I do not know. And each ship that came into that zone, people fell upon their faces, and they started praying and weeping and crying. Did you know that God has his own? In 1735, Jonathan Edwards stood up and preached a message, sinners in the hands of a mighty God. And he didn't even preach it very good. He looked through thick spectacles, but there was such an anointing and such a presence that people dug their fingernails against the wall as they visualized themselves falling into the hands of an angry God. Revival broke out. The whole town, history said, seemed to be filled with the presence of God. Every store, every house, every person, the way they talked, the way they walked. The preachers were consumed completely and taken over, history says, by the Holy Spirit. Churches did business not like they usually did. Children's started children's revival. They would preach to each other and give altar calls and have salvations and healings. Men would spend all night with all-night prayer meetings. There was a zone. But there is a third level. It is called the personalized presence of God. That's when God zones in on the individual. When God zones in on you and he zones in on me. And by the way, he's doing that this morning. Some of you are in the presence of God, but it's different this morning. It's like a laser beam is zoning in. This is your day. This is your time. And pretty soon, there's going to be a multitude of people that turn their lives to God. They're so hungry for this present. People come to this church, and one person is crying, and another person is saying, what's their problem? When one person leaves the service and he says, that's the greatest service I've ever been in my life, and you're thinking, was I in the same service? You see, what was happening is the Holy Spirit was zoning in. He's encountering them. And my prayer is this, God, don't just let people just know the sovereign God of the cosmos. Let them not just talk about when God revealed himself in Korea or Brazil or Nigeria or Pensacola or Asbury College. My prayer is, God, come to them personally. Clobber them with the presence of God. See, Moses just didn't have a sovereign God. He had a manifested God. He had a personal experience. He had a visitation, and it changed his life. A place where you go, and you dial into that access code. And that place for me is many different places. We have a prayer chapel at our church that I like to go, the side of the mountain. But wherever it will be, but several years ago, I was driving to church. We're in the midst of a building program. All we got was enough money to dig the foundation, and we had no loan. And by the way, interest then was 21%. So you little pansies, quit talking about how bad it is now. Come on, say a good amen. It wasn't that bad. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd never pastored a church like this. So as I drove up Cave Creek that led to, I remember going up that hill in my car, and I was praying, oh God, please help us. God, come to our aid. And I was praying, and I prayed for a while to God, and then I talked to Jesus, and suddenly it dawned on me that I'd never talked to the Holy Spirit. I talked to God, our Father, and by the way, that's what we're instructed to pray. And I talked to Jesus in the name of Jesus. But the Bible said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? The Holy Spirit. And it hit me. I traveled all over the world. I felt the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And never once did I talk to the Holy Spirit. He'd been sitting beside me, probably scared to death sometime the way I drive. Amen. And this Holy Spirit that empowered me And bless me, I never had a conversation. I pulled over the car. And I turned to that empty seat and said, Holy Spirit, please forgive me. You've been so wonderful. You give me presence. You give me power. And from that day forth, it changed my life. Well, that's the presence of God. And while I've been teaching right now, some of you in this building wanting to get under the shadow of that Almighty God. I close with an illustration. Years ago, I held a revival in one of the greatest churches in the Assembly of God in Memphis, Tennessee. The First Assembly of God. Pastor James Hamill. It was the most famous church in our denomination. The Blackwood Brothers, they were out of that church. Elvis Presley was out of that church. He tried out for the church quartet, but his voice wasn't good enough to make the church, and they turned him down, literally. He tried to get in the choir, but he wasn't trained, and they turned him down. Elvis Presley went out, and you know the story. There are places they did not know the President of the United States, but they knew Elvis Presley in the world. But I heard this story of how he was a miserable man. And night often he'd cry out in the middle of the night for fear. It got so bad that he took with him the Blackwood Brothers Quartet when he went out and he sang at his big concerts. And the big stay that he had in Las Vegas, it went for years. But did you know that his favorite music was Christian music? And are you aware of the fact that he would not go on and perform? He was so miserable until the quartet would sing for him, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And then he'd go out. He said he could face the audience, but it got so bad that he got to the place that he would stop in the middle of performance, call the Blackwood Brothers out and say, would you sing that song? It was such a night. He was struggling. When suddenly he turned and said, Blackwood Brothers, come out. I want you to look at it on the screen. He didn't even sing himself. He just listened.
Of the Lord.
Poor old Elvis Presley. All around him was the glory of God. And yet he never invited the presence of God into his life. Died 42 years of age, 1 year older than myself. He sat in the First Assembly of God. He'd go to church there. He was surrounded by Christians who prayed for him. But he would never open his heart to God. And he died from an overdose of drugs. In this building today, there are people that sit in the presence of God. You love this church. You'd fight for this church. You give your life for this church, but you have never invited the greatest power in the world into your life. But while every head is bowed and every eye is closed and every Christian praying, just before I end this service, the Holy Spirit has reached down. I can feel His presence just hover over this building right now. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, the Spirit of God is dealing with everyone in this building. And let me tell you, the Bible said that His Spirit will not always strive with man. There comes a time that man rejects Him so long and becomes so hardened that he cannot be saved, or he will not be saved. But as long as you feel that tugging, he will in no wise cast out. This is your moment. So while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just before I close, I'm going to ask everyone before I pray to raise your hands in just a minute. And I'm going to pray right from this mic. And you'll say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm right with God. I don't have peace with God. I don't have rest. Pastor, if there's ever time I need God in my life, I need Him now. I want to give my life to Him. Will you just pray for me? Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. I believe hands are going to go up all over this building. Are you ready? If you would like for me to pray for you, only you and I and God will know who I'm praying for. Would you raise your hand all over the building right now? Raise them high. Raise them high. Raise them high. Oh, they're going up all over this building. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Hands are still going up. There are more. This is your moment. Do not turn from the Spirit of God. Do not reject Him. This is your day. Oh, they're still going up. Yes, it's not too late. Put it up, Pastor. Pray. And now we're going to pray. But I'm going to ask every one of you that raise your hand to join me in this prayer. It's called the prayer of repentance. And the Bible said when you pray it with a sincere heart, God hears and God forgives. Are you ready? But I want the Christians to join in with them to encourage them. I want this to sound like thunder. Are you ready? Everyone, loud and clear, repeat this prayer together. Dear God, I have sinned, and I need a Savior. I need your peace. I need your rest. You said that if I would ask you, that you would forgive me. And I believe you, Lord. And I repent of my sins. And I give my life to you. You are now my Savior. I am forgiven. Thank you for coming into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. Isn't this wonderful? Wow. Oh, come on. Let's raise our hands and thank God for His presence right now. It's in this place. It's in this place. Now, give your attention for just a minute and a half. I got 42 seconds. Okay, look at me. pastor leaned over me and said, tell them about the Dream Center, because we want to bless the Dream Center. And pastor, thank you for doing that. That's why this church is having revival and growth and God's blessing. The Bible said when you give to the poor, you lend to God. And he will, I could give you scriptures over and over about it. But let me tell you what the need is. He said, pastor, let me know what the need is. During the pandemic, you heard me say that we fed 5 million people in about a year. Think of that. But what happened is these people started wanting help to come to live at the Dream Center. Now we have over 900 people living at the Dream Center. Nobody pays. It depends on Matthew and myself and just a miracle, almost a day. And I'm just going to tell you, it's been the hardest year of our life this past year, with inflation, with what's going on in the crime. Everybody wants to come to the Dream Center. We've got a waiting list, and we've got the rooms, but they've got to be all refurbished. The city won't let us in the condition they are. We have probably now over 40 more rooms that we could put people in. It will take about $2,500 to refurbish it with furniture and everything. And we have almost 40 of these rooms that we could put them in. We also takes about $1,000 a month. And by the way, all those people you see sleeping in tents, most of those are mothers, and the men have left. They're embarrassed. They run. And you got these little mothers with children. Nobody will take children in at the Dream Center and in the ministries because they're afraid of lawsuits. If some kid was abused, we're the only one. It takes us about a little bit under a thousand a month to house a family. That's $12,000 a year. By the way, you know what it costs to put a homeless person in prison for a year in L.A.? Over $80,000. $80,000. Don't you think it's a pretty good deal? The city is begging us. They're turning to us. And really, we're kind of at a crisis because people don't give as much during this hour. They're scared. They can't. And so we really need a miracle. We're going to make it. Maybe you could take care of a family for a month or a year. That's what, $12,000. Maybe you could refurnish a room because we can't add anybody for $2,500. That's room, board, furnished. And by the way, that $1,000 takes care of job replacement, of giving them an education. We do all this for them. We take care of their medical, everything. So today when you give, you're giving graciously unto the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that brought us to God. And we're going to leave this place a historic great moment when so many found Jesus Christ. But God, that same Holy Spirit, move upon the people. As you speak to them what they should give, may they obey you. And thank you for this great church and these pastors who've opened the door to those that are in need. I love you, God. And I love these people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for letting me preach to you today. I love you all dearly. God bless you.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect. where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.